Corn. I'm the Junicorn herself, Hannah Brown, your host, and today, in our second episode of the LA series, we have one of my best friends, who also just happens to be a really badass musician. Should I introduce you as your stage name?
Sure.
We have Leo Kidd.
Hey.
Thank you so much for being here.
And my name is also Leah.
Leah.
I go by both.
Yeah, but Leo Kidd's
I respond
your Instagram.
To both.
Yeah, if someone was like, hey, Leo Kidd, and you'd be like, yeah.
I turn around. Amazing. I turn around. I turn my head.
I think it's a great name.
Thank you.
My first question was like, how did you come up with that name?
Well, it's actually a street name in my hometown of Florida. And when I was a kid, I was always like, that's a cool name. When I have a band or a stage name, it's going to be Leo Kidd.
So you like figured that out as a child?
Yeah, yeah. I've had it planned.
Amazing. I love that.
When I got out of basketball practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're an athlete too. You're a real jack of all trades.
Like that's my destiny.
That's amazing. Well, really good. You went to college in Chicago for acting. Mm-hmm. Then you've really only been doing the Leo Kidd thing for a couple of years now though.
Yeah, a little
How'd
over
you get
2 years.
Into that?
Well, it did start out as a project with someone else, and we were Leo Kidd, and we just had a little bit of discrepancies, so
friction.
I parted with that partner, and we were doing like a lot of poppy stuff and kind of like just home recording. Mm-hmm. We only played like one show, and just like after I split, I just kind of started rocking and rolling, and it hasn't really, yeah, it hasn't stopped. It just keeps going. It's super hard. Still trying to get my name out there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
But yeah, a little over 2 years. So it's still new, you know? Mm-hmm. That shit takes time.
Oh, for sure. You just have to be, like, creating, I would say.
Yeah.
What, like, type of music would you say you play?
Now it's, like, more close to, because it's really, really changed and evolved. But, like, the shows that I've been doing now are, like, all acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in Chicago, I had, like, 8-piece band.
Yeah.
With, like,
rock show.
Yeah, rock show. It's definitely rock. It's, like, I'd say, like, right now, it's, like, soulful. It goes in the genre of pop, but mm-hmm. like soul, pop, rock, dark.
Love it.
Yeah.
I would agree. As an audience member and a
as
fan.
As an audience member.
Yeah. Who are some of your inspirations as an artist?
Oh, we know. We know the answer.
But the listeners don't. So you have to tell them.
Well, the reason why, you know, I feel we're such good friends is we share the same love mm-hmm. for Lady Gaga. So
of
I
course.
Love her. Totally different sounds, but she's just like, God, when she came out, she was super inspiring for mm-hmm. us doubtful people. And I was like
weird theater kids.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who want to be like, want to wear black, want to wear those studded, you know.
Studded everything.
Hand gloves.
Yeah. I
lost them when I was drunk, you know, one of the many nights that I'm drunk. But she is definitely a huge inspiration. Tom York of Radiohead.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's where I go back to like more and more. Low key roots. I love the fucking National, like David Bowie, Elton John.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
The OGs.
Yeah.
Kings and Queens.
Yeah. And I'm also that bitch who loves Lana Del Rey. I am.
I get Lana Del Rey vibes from your music in a big way. But I mean that in a really good way because I love her music.
She's a poet. A lot of people don't realize that. Her music is poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always said she's not like a singer. She's mm-hmm. a writer.
Yeah.
And that to me is what's evident and very cool.
Yeah.
And that's why I really like her.
Oh my God. She's like, I got into Lana Del Rey when I was going through like a gnarly breakup because I was just like, I need this girl who's like clearly feeling yes. all these feelings to like feel them with me.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. One of my best friends calls Lana Del Rey like soaking in a bathtub music, like crying in a bathtub.
I don't know how many times I've done that.
Cried in a bathtub with Lana Del Rey with like a lavender candle.
To every album.
Yeah, right.
To absolutely every album. I've done that.
So
my sisters.
At my nail salon, they always play like a playlist of music videos. And one time the Born to Die video was like on the playlist.
Dead.
Literally. She dies in the
she
end.
Dies.
I remember like watching and looking at the girl doing my nails being like, that was really sad. And she's like, yeah, it's sad, right?
Yeah, it's
And I was like, fucked, but beautiful. It was a beautiful
yeah.
video.
Yeah. Sure. She's amazing.
So like what, so you Leo Kids existed in Chicago and Florida temporarily and LA. What has your creative process, like how's it changed depending on where you've lived and like what you've been doing where you've lived?
Well, in Chicago, where it all began, I'd say, I wasn't playing anything. Like I was never on the keys. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of I felt like I had a lot of people doing things for me and I was just like singing and I on the mic. And of course I wrote, but you know, like Shelley wrote also. Mm-hmm. And, hey Shelley, please listen to this.
Shelley. Love you, bitch. Yeah.
But I felt I had control, but I just feel like I'm more in control now. Like when I went to Florida, God forsaken place, for that year, like I learned to accompany myself on the keys and really like control the show and kind of lead it. So now I'm fully comfortable, like just hopping on a piano and like doing my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like, I remember the last House of Blues show I did, in Chicago, was it 2016 of July. I had to get on the keys for one song. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Which song was it?
I don't want to be alone anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like panicking, freaking the fuck out. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And now I'll play a full show on the keys. So I like, for me, that's like, I'm proud of myself in that sense because piano's not my strong suit. I can totally get by but I just feel pretty great that now, like I can just lead a show.
Yeah.
So that's changed. I haven't been writing out here yet because I'm like homeless. So
right, getting on her feet. We'll get into that in a little bit.
I will find my writing style soon. But as far
as it's hard to worry about writing when you're like, I don't have a place to sleep.
But yeah, no, the process it's always changing for anyone, any like artist, any writer, like, and it's important to continue to put yourself in new situations, like, you know, fucking cities, homes, whatever, because you're not like, you're going to have your roots and your style, but it's constantly going to be changing. And that's important.
For you, when you write a song, do you start with melody or do you start with lyrics?
I always start with like chords. I always start with piano lines.
Yeah.
And then the lyrics come. Like, it's really, really awkward for me. Like, if I'm just sitting somewhere and I'm writing down lyrics, which in that is just poetry, it's really awkward to try to put, lyrics to chords after. Like, I have to hear the music first.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear the music, then I think of it. I think of words and stories.
Right.
Other than that, like, that's my style. I'd be willing to branch out, but
I do think it would be really hard to
super weird.
Yeah, to start with words and be like, I'm gonna put music to this.
Yeah,
because I don't know. I feel like I think there's feelings involved in both the lyrics and the music. But
that's just
I can
me.
Understand that order.
But maybe there's probably someone out there who feels amazing doing that.
Starting with lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also I feel like writing music is hard because like for me, I like writing scripts or like short essays and like that I could do anywhere with a notebook or even with my phone. But like music, you need to like actually be playing and trying different things out.
Right.
So it's like hard to do that. You can't just like walk into a bar with your keyboard and be like, cool if I just like see what's up. Like, cool if I just like write here. Like, I feel like it's so much more of a process, just like a very different process.
Yeah.
With more moving parts.
There's a lot of moving parts in music, literally.
But it has to feel good to be like independent at this point and like know that you can do some of that shit on your own.
For sure. For sure. I also like collaborating with people when we write music, but I can like write a fucking song by myself. I'm like, that's pretty great. Good job, Leah.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about that.
Pat on the back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you ever like, if you dated a musician, would you ever collaborate with him?
Wait, have I dated a musician?
I don't think you have.
Oh.
Have you?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, some dude can I say names on here?
Yeah. It's your funeral.
No, I shouldn't.
I don't know.
I don't think I should.
Like, what are we going to say about him? That's the real thing.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't. guy in Chicago. He mm-hmm. was in a band, actually did super, super well in Chicago and oh. like elsewhere.
Oh.
Like, and I'm not going to name the band because they're very well known.
Weird.
Yeah. And like, it was just, he could not give me what I wanted. He was super like distance, like I'm a drummer
angsty.
Man. I'm an angsty drummer. Like,
yeah.
I need like a, I don't know. I mean, that was my one experience, but I just felt like he was so into like be like involved, enveloped in the music. I was just like, couldn't do it.
Like he didn't have enough to give you as a lady.
Yeah. And there's, dude, a lot of musicians are super immature.
Mm-hmm.
Like super immature.
I mean, same with stand-up guys, same
Holy
with actors.
Fuck.
Stab me in the face.
Yeah. It was just an immaturity thing. I'm like, I need a man. Like, can you take me out to dinner? Can
a lot
we
of them
go
are like,
out
sorry, I can't afford it.
I mean, hey, I will go halfway. Can we at right. least just get to the establishment?
Yeah, can we split the bill, please?
And none of that happened. So.
Please and thank you.
I don't know. Did I cut you off? What were you going to ask me?
Not
what
at
is
all.
It like? Okay.
I was cool. literally just going to say, would you collaborate with a musician boyfriend if you had one?
I kind of have one right now.
Well, do you collaborate on music?
Yeah. He played a show with me.
But like, is he helping you write
no,
songs?
No, I can't do that.
You're like, I'll write the songs and you can just play them. I feel like that's how I would be too. Control freak.
Well, I don't know because writing, yeah, kind of actually. I don't know. The way I write, I tend to write about really deep shit and
mm-hmm.
I pull from past experiences as we all do as writers. But mm-hmm. I just feel, I don't know, maybe in the future, like if I was with someone like and we were totally comfortable, but right now, no. Because he's going to be like, what's that about? With,
yeah.
With that, I'm like, you don't want to fucking know.
Right? I don't want to go there with you.
I don't want to go there.
I always get so, like, irrationally angry about unsolicited advice and, like, help, where I don't think I could ever, like, I could probably, I've written, like, scripts with my girlfriends, but I don't think I could write with a boyfriend because it'd just be like, you don't get it. You don't fucking, that's not what I'm trying to say. Nice try.
Yeah. No. And then you're going to fight.
Yeah.
And then you stop writing.
Right.
Because you're in a fight.
You're like, let's write a scene about some fucked up couple that hates each other. I mean, just quote everything we just said. I literally have written scenes about like me and my ex-boyfriend. I started this really dark script once on a day where I was like, what's the most fucked up conversation I could have with my ex-boyfriend? And I wrote a scene about me telling him that I'm dying. And in the script, it's real, like, that I'm dying. And he like doesn't believe me and is like, you're so fucked up. And I told my friends after, I was like, I'm writing some really dark shit right now, yeah. And I just want you all to know that I'm okay. I
I'm
just think
okay.
It'd be a really interesting dynamic.
For
what
sure.
if like, you had unfinished business for the next, and you're like, I'm dying now. I need to talk to you.
No, this
I'm
is
back.
Juicy shit.
I know. You
no,
just got to make the
good.
Stakes. It's very like,
yeah,
like stakes. College drama. Like, how high can those stakes
yeah.
be?
Stakes are high. That's
okay,
good.
Wait. So, Leo Kid, music step aside, you just moved to LA 2 months ago. You've kind of had a rough go of it. I've been in town for a lot of it. I do think even though it's not a happy ending yet, I think it's a funny story.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Can you indulge my listeners with some of what's happened to you?
Oh, definitely. Well, first of all, thank God for you being here because
the timing worked out.
Seriously. Yeah, so basically, I don't care if this bitch hears it.
I don't either.
I left my apartment, my current living situation at 5 a.m. packed my shit up because this roommate of mine is crazy and
they met online.
Drove out here together, got each other here, and I think after that it's just like in my brain it was like I need to be done with her. So packed all my stuff up at 5 a.m. and left.
After because, her roommate kicked her.
Yeah, I got kicked and was being filmed without my consent. So, you
LA,
know,
baby. LA
really
night.
Casual, normal stuff
mm-hmm.
to happen on a Friday night at 4 a.m. So,
I'm
out. Bye.
I also like live for the fact though that like you can look back on this moment and be like, wow, I've come so far. I have a future fantasy that I manifest about us at like some beautiful pool in the hills, listening to Started from the Bottom by Drake and getting fucked up on sparkling rosé.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
That's like
That's
literally
exactly
a fantasy that I go to.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
It's a fantasy I go to when I'm like, I'm never going to make it. I'm like, Started from the Bottom. No,
yeah.
And yeah, I'll just be like us.
Well,
we won't have boyfriends.
I feel for you, your transition to LA is going to be so much better. I know that.
I don't know.
I think so.
I almost don't
so.
Feel like it'll be fair if it is.
Well, it's I think that it's a rite of passage to have something really fucking crazy happen to you.
It has to. It has to.
It does. It does. So
you've just, it's been a 1-2 sucker punch though. That's for certain.
It really has. So I'm hopping around right now. Mm-hmm. You know, casually staying with my boyfriend of 2 months.
Normal vibes. You know, you got to do what you got to do. You got to make lemons into lemonade, honey. Truly amazing. Oh, yeah. What?
Here we are.
What's your future fantasy? Like, let's manifest. Like, what do you want for you, Leo Kid? Is there like an image in your head of like playing a certain place, or what will you be wearing? I get really detailed with my fantasies.
Oh my God, definitely. I'm so detailed. Like, yeah. I want to, like, I want to have like a home here for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have a home here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be like an LA regular. I want to have like an LA base. Like people I collaborate with.
Like, yeah, like your peeps.
My people. Like I want to be a part of the fucking community here. And that's, it's super hard. Like super hard to get into, I'd say, but not impossible. I don't know if like LA is my forever home.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, I don't even have a home right now.
So. It will be your home like, soon.
Honestly, goal is to get home. No, but I definitely have, like, I want like a fucking team. Like I want a stylist. I want like my makeup person.
Like a full Erica Jane squad.
Sure. Absolutely. But it's like a team. Like we all give to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about me.
Right.
You know, because fuck that. I already have like friends in New York actually mostly in New York who like we've talked about like when it happens, like I'm your guy. I'm your
girl. Totally. That's so exciting to have those kinds of conversations.
Yeah. So yeah, and basically just I want custom like design black outfits for me, just black.
Duh.
Just really that's it. Like these are my goals, these are my dreams.
That's amazing.
Have some money.
I like have revenge fantasies too. Like or not even revenge fantasies, just fantasies in general that I can just like close my eyes and go there.
Yes.
And then I'm back. Yes. And it like motivates me to like go to the gym. Yep. Or like go to that audition or like write and I'm just like yes. Also, if I listen,
manifest that shit.
You gotta manifest.
Seriously.
It.
It's a thing.
I also watch and or listen to Marry the Night when I'm feeling down.
Duh.
Because it's a redemption.
Given. It's a given.
It's a redemption story. It's a story about an underdog rising from the ashes like a phoenix.
Phoenix. Oh, that, God, it's good.
That fucking video. Yeah. The studded denim bra. Yeah. The dyeing her hair blue in the bathtub.
It's when she got dropped from her first label.
It's
Def Jam. Def Jam dropped her.
Isn't that Jay-Z's label?
I think so.
And it's just this huge, I didn't know, because I knew it was a metaphor for something, because at the end you see like Capitol Records written on her hand, and yeah. She's just so like grateful and excited.
She got dropped by Def Jam, I want to say.
That's so
they
crazy.
Dropped her, and that's exactly what the video is about.
Because she, like, plays this, like, movie star that gets, like, dropped from her movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, French and, like, upset.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good. Yes. I want to watch it after this. Heck. Okay, so what are your tips? Like, if an artist is feeling blocked, what are, like, some pointers you would have about how to, like, unblock that? Like, what are some strategies that you use?
Like, writer's block?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Mine's kind of fucked up.
What is it?
I look for danger.
Oh, yeah. Like, set your life on fire.
Yeah.
I do that, too. Because then inevitably something will go terribly wrong, but you'll have a lot of feelings after.
So many things to write about.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's, yeah, like, drop your bags in a new place and you're going to have stuff to write about.
It's true. When things are going well, you're like, I'm too happy. Like, no one wants to write about being happy unless you're, like, Pharrell.
Right, and it's the worst song.
Yeah,
and it is.
It just repeats the like, happy over and over.
I want to cut my ears off when I hear that.
A room without a roof,
and no one wants that.
That's just an incomplete house.
Yeah, we love the sad shit. People love the sad shit. So that's what I do.
I don't know, like, just act really recklessly.
Just be reckless, and then you're gonna find stuff.
So true.
But oh put yourself in situations that you aren't normally in. I'm not saying like go on Craigslist and like
meet up with someone who's like looking for someone to skin and make into a lamp. You down? And then you're like, it's me.
Honestly, you're gonna write the best song of your life. It's gonna be a hit.
Yeah, it's gonna be a huge hit about how you almost got turned into a lamp made of skin. You can do it, girl. You can dream it, you can be it.
Oh God.
It's so true though. I think, yeah, the hardest times are when you're feeling the most inspired. At the end of my summer, when I'd been hooking up with that ding dong dillywhacker, I was like a shell of myself, hated myself, was like, this is the worst ever. And then I wrote all these like hilarious scenes about this stupid guy that says bullshit to this like unsuspecting naive girl.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the first scene of Bridesmaids where like John Hamm's just saying dumb shit and Kristen Wiig's character is like smarter, like smart enough that she knows what's going on but doesn't want to stop.
Right.
And like I was like, you can, some of this shit you just can't make up. Like the guy who checked his Grubhub while he was inside me.
God damn.
You can't make it up.
You can't make it up. It happens. It either happens to you or it happens to someone at some point.
And then someone can relate to it. And they're like, thank God, I'm not the only person whose life is on fire.
And that's art.
That's art, baby.
Yeah.
It all comes full circle.
Yeah. No, it's super important. Don't set your life aflame, but go outside the box.
Like challenge yourself.
Challenge yourself. Cheer style.
Her roommate's gotten into her.
Challenge yourself. Get outside that box.
It's so good.
Fucking hillbilly.
Oh my God.
A Tampa hillbilly.
You know, just like the guy in Spring Breakers.
Yeah. But yeah, challenge yourself for sure.
Okay, here's something. I want to just read a couple celeb riders that I found online, and I want to ask you what would be on your rider.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So here's some of the ones
I found. I have Gaga's rider, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I wrote down some highlights from the one that I found on the internet.
Go on.
On Nicki Minaj's, it's spicy fried chicken wings, two space heaters, candles. Candles that smell like baked goods, and three different flavors of chewing gum, and also a cheese platter.
Unreal.
Mariah Carey's is Cristal and bendy straws to drink the Cristal with. Two air purifiers, an assistant to dispose of her gum, and then another assistant to help her on staircases. Some of the ones on the internet from Gaga's rider were a mannequin with puffy pink pubic hair.
What?
Lavender hand towels, black and silver satin draping the walls, posters of her favorite artists, Bowie, Queen, Billie Holiday, etc. Fan art, white leather couches, and yellow or lavender roses.
Okay. Okay,
this was written, I think it was in like 2010, it went viral because people were like, this is fucking crazy. Insane. What's with the mannequin with the puppy pink pubic hair?
Wait.
There's like pictures of an email being like, and if she could get that, that would be great as well. Thank you. Like, it's like an email.
Yeah, thread. Like very professional. Like, we need the pubic hair mannequin. Like, if you want your job, then it needs to be here.
Then you need to make that happen.
Okay. I thought writer is like just food. So I'm like thinking Brussels sprouts, kombucha. Uh-huh. I'm thinking cheese plate. Sure. Okay, I guess you can bring in like props and posters and shit.
Yeah, that's candles, really Anthropology candles.
Very important. I would definitely want candles.
Yeah, and you would have an assistant to blow them out. So you wouldn't even have to worry about like setting the place ablaze, which is what I worry about in my apartment.
Hiring a person to blow candles out, I'd do it.
You could afford it. One less thing to worry about.
So, like, what would I have? I mean, that's pretty incredible. The black satin drapes. Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me.
It's ambiance.
In 2010, she was also, like, she had just, like, that was, like, peak.
Yeah.
That was super peak. I think it's peak.
Yeah. That was when she's, like, I'm young and I'm a fucking star and I'm going to act like one.
Exactly.
Now she's, like, I'm 30. I don't give a shit about the same things.
Right.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts? So your Brussels sprouts, kombucha, candles.
Yeah, I mean, shit, what would I want? Definitely booze. Let's be real.
What kind of booze? Bubbles?
Bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'd or want vodka. Some whiskey. Or vodka.
Oh, whiskey.
Yeah.
I'd want whiskey too.
God knows I want bubbles though. Always. I'll take down a whole bottle. That actually could be dangerous. Is this pre-show? Yeah, I couldn't do that. Yeah. I'd probably get drunk.
Yeah.
I need people in my life to be like, hey, don't get drunk. I'm like, okay, but I'm rich.
Right. Don't get too excited. I know.
Like a babysitter?
Pretty much. That's your assistant. That's what an assistant is. I feel like if I were going to do like a TV appearance, like be on like Jimmy Kimmel or something, I would need to have at least like two shots before.
For sure.
Because I wouldn't be, I would get so nervous and tense and I wouldn't be like funny or charming at all. And right, I would just be like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'd probably rather, like, fart on the air.
Can you imagine? Do they have that mic'd? Do they have your asshole mic'd?
There's probably, it could probably pick up the sound.
Do you think?
Is it like behind your ear? Or like through your dress?
Yeah.
Like, so happy to be here.
But your asshole's like far away. I feel like
it'd be muffled by the Jimmy Kimmel chairs. And then, like, think about it. If the next day, like, Jennifer Lawrence came on, she would, like, sit on my fart chair. And that would be actually really validating for me. I'd watch Kimmel the next day and be like, she's sitting on my fart chair. I know it.
Fart chair. We all have one.
Everyone's got a fart chair.
How did we get here?
It's my fault. I devolved it.
I feed into it.
To be fair, you brought up Brussels sprouts. We should, speaking of Brussels sprouts, we should tell them our origin story. It's much less glamorous than this moment.
Wait, oh.
How we met. How we became
friends.
Oh my
God, duh. So it was my first day? Maybe my second day at Crosby's.
Uh-huh.
I was like, this is Hannah, she's gonna be your trainer. I'm like, we're gonna be friends. In that moment, I remember you were wearing yellow gingham.
Ew.
Yeah, ew. You were wearing yellow, though.
Ew, I remember that one. Cameron gave it to me. It was so big on me.
It was huge. You were drowning. It's like, someone save this girl. She's drowning in a crunch.
Drowning in fabrics.
They were like huge, ugly, like yellow checkers. They were big checkers. They weren't small.
Oh my God.
God, atrocious.
At least at my new job that makes me wear gingham, they provide the goddamn gingham. It's not like, have fun going to Plato's Closet and Crossroads Training and finding these hideous shirts that you're never going to wear again. Dude. Like, Lord help us all.
We met through this restaurant in Chicago, Crosby's.
Mm-hmm.
God, where we had a time.
We did. It was the best of times and the worst of times,
really,
truly.
I would agree.
William, you guys, in the episode called The Mop Closet, the first 10 minutes were actually about Leah. We all worked there together.
Oh, my God.
We would all hide in the mop closet, cry in the mop closet, eat in the mop closet, sit on the leftover linens in the mop closet.
Yeah. The linen throne.
The linen throne.
The linen throne.
There were stacks of linens that we would sit on and cry on them. I cried every single shift, and without exaggeration.
Oh my God.
By the summer before I left, we were all drinking every shift all the time out of styrofoam cups because it was like, if I didn't do that, I would have quit months before.
Wouldn't have been okay. I think I almost got to a point where I was going to bring the booze into the mop, like from home.
Yeah.
Like buy mini bottles.
BYOB for work.
And that's probably why I left Chicago. I was like out of control.
Yeah. You're like, this is a dark, dark downward spiral that I'm in the middle of right now.
Yeah.
And it's not okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. God. What are some of, like, our best stories? Well, the half-eaten salad. Don't say I never did anything for you. This was mentioned in the episode with William where I offered Leah a half-eaten salad that was, like, soggy and disgusting. I was like, listen, girl, there's a stranger's right wood. There's about half of it left in the cabinet under the coffee pots. And if you want it, it is yours.
And I was so grateful.
I truly thought I was being the best friend in the world. Never mind the fact that we were working like 16-hour days and not given food and not given breaks. And it was just like, figure it out. Like, you got in trouble for eating, but then they got mad at you if you were grouchy.
Oh, they give you the eye when they see you eating on your 16-hour day with no
break. Well, you can eat a granola bar. I'm like, that's not a meal. Like, I need a meat.
I need food.
Yeah.
Food. I need food.
And then, funny enough, our last days were the same day.
Yeah. Well, planned. Yeah, no. I mean, you went the right way.
I put my 2 weeks in after getting abused at this restaurant for 2 years. Conveniently, I just want to add some highlights from my last day.
Go on.
We were all in doubles, all of our friends, and everyone but me was offered a break. I was just told that I was working straight through.
Oh my God.
And I was told that not only had I opened the restaurant, I would be closing the restaurant on my last day.
Oh my God.
Without a break. So everyone who thought that I was a little snippy that day, it's like,
go in.
My fucking boss was the meanest little gnome of a human being I have ever encountered. I was under attack all the time.
You were.
And if you think I wasn't, you're fucking wrong.
You're wrong.
I was like,
I agree. I will vouch for you.
Yeah. And also, like, it was like 2 months after my mom died. Lol. So, rough time for me.
Oh, God.
But I did, I actually ended up, then my manager, after putting me through all that, was like, why don't you just take the night off? Because so-and-so's going to close for you, which I snapped at her. I said, sorry, whatever.
Right.
I ended up getting the night off and I was like, wait a minute, you put me through the emotional stress of not giving me a break, telling me that I'm closing, and then you just give me the night off. Was it like a test? You just wanted to see how upset I would get?
It's crazy. God, no, he's a lunatic.
Same
day. He doesn't know how to run a restaurant, and he doesn't know how to manage people.
Yeah, it's like if he didn't like you on a personal level, your work experience was hell.
Yeah, very much.
Whereas
so.
I know managers where I'm like, oh no, I don't like this person on a personal level, but I manage them as an employee and just don't really speak to them about personal stuff because we don't get along, and it's fine.
Yeah,
as long as they do their job.
Like, I had, you know, when Pulse happened.
Oh yeah.
I was literally calling people
on a brunch shift.
On a brunch shift, because I found out the next morning, and I was trying to get in touch with people to see if they were fucking living. And I was just breaking down, man. And I like sat on the linen throne for a moment. And I just like went, oh. He walks in. He goes, really, Leah? And I'm just like, I couldn't believe it. It's just like, okay, so you have no concept of like human. Like you're not empathetic at all.
Well, he's a Republican from the Upper Peninsula. So.
Wow, look at my old man laugh. I hope that's captured.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
So dark. And it's really sad that like even now, I don't even live in LA yet. I'm literally just here for a little bit and I'm still serving, but my life feels like
better.
It's so much better than it was that summer.
Very, very toxic.
Dark, dark times.
We were just overworked, man, and
Not appreciated. We didn't even get like a thank you. It was just this constant like we were always being berated. Like, you're not doing this. You're not doing that. I'm like, how about the fact that like I picked up how many shifts this week for you? I've stayed late.
And honestly, for how much we did at that job, we did not make enough.
Mm-mm.
We did not make enough. We didn't make fucking hourly. That's insane. Now that I'm out here in like LA, I get a paycheck.
I know, that'd be really nice. I don't get one.
Yeah, I didn't get one in Florida.
All my checks are like void, void, void.
I can't wait till this is in the conversation. I can't wait for the day when we don't have to talk about our serving jobs.
Me too.
It's going to happen.
The glamour, the guts and the glamour.
But it.
Sorry, I don't want to step on your toes as a singer.
Yeah, honestly, and a songwriter. Cool. You're just trying to upstage me? It's fucked up. This bitch sucks. Just kidding.
God, fucking Crosby's.
Yep.
I would love to. What if just to be dark on your rider, you put Crosby's rotisserie chicken on it?
Oh my God. No, James' head. Like, I just have his head on a platter.
Yeah.
Is that fucked up?
I would like this. It's going to be like Kathy Griffin, where it's going to be like, you're bad.
That's on my rider.
Yeah.
James, what's his last name?
Don't, no, we can't even do it.
Sorry.
Our old manager.
Old manager.
Or I'd be like, you know who I need my assistant to be? Otherwise, I quit. James. Just so I could, like, boss him around.
Right.
I'd be like, excuse me, this isn't what I asked for. Ugh, can't you get anything right? Just be like the most insufferable boss of all time.
When he would be on the line.
Yes.
His eyeballs. Like pop out of his head.
Literally, it was like Robert Durst, like shark eyes, but like pale,
Brandon.
Pale blue. Yeah.
The best like, of the shark eyes.
He'd be like, those goddamn shark eyes. Look at me.
Brandon, miss you.
Shout outs to all our friends at CK.
Oh my God.
But honestly, to be fair, if he did like you, working there was great. Like, I don't fault like my friends who still work there,
right?
Because they have a good setup. Like, they get to pick the shifts they want and do what they want because they've like paid their dues.
Right.
I just didn't have that relationship with them where I was ever going to get to that point. So it was either just like continue to be miserable or work somewhere else.
You guys didn't get along.
That was my only option.
It was not going to happen. It was time to go.
He just didn't find me like beguiling and charming. Speaking of.
Just bullshit. I don't get that.
Like that man at the highlight room the other day.
Oh.
That hot guy.
Oh my God. Wait, what was his name?
I don't remember.
The beard dude?
No. The one that was like a hot Jewish dad at the end of the bar and definitely like had some important job, but like couldn't talk.
Yeah, the one with the wife?
Yeah, but no wedding ring. We were at the highlight room the other day, guys.
Sketch.
There was this guy at the end of the bar, and I was talking to, like, his friend, and I was politely trying to, like, integrate him into the conversation. He wasn't wearing a wedding ring, so, like, but I'm also just a friendly person. It wasn't me being like, what are you doing later?
Right.
And he goes, what time does this place close tonight? And I was like, 9, they have a private event after. And he's like, I know, because my wife's the planner.
Ugh,
and then I was like, God. Okay. And then he was asking me about, like, where I was from and all this stuff. And then I would answer, and he would just not answer and look at his phone. And I looked at Leah, and I was like, did I kill his dog? Did I do something to this man?
Fucking weirdos. There's so many out here in LA. There really are. There's a lot of fucking weird people.
Like, don't ask me a question and then act like I offended you by being like, oh, I'm from Illinois. And he's like, And also, if your wife's throwing the event, why the fuck aren't you wearing a wedding band? I think it's weird.
Dude, because a lot of people are like swingers out here.
Yeah.
For sure, man. Oh my God. I met a couple. I know a couple out here and they're both escorts, the man and the female. They're both escorts.
Girls gotta eat.
Together. And like, how bad can I get on here? Can I like say like, suck dick?
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Okay, great. So like they both suck dick.
Oh my They're
together as a couple.
Do they do they it with condoms on?
I don't know.
Because I would be like, if you give me herpes from someone's dick.
Yeah, it's scary shit. I mean, now they're broken up because they're super toxic and like got violent. But I just like, oh, I don't, like that's not normal to me. I mean, I'm not judging, like do you? But
yeah, whatever
it's
works.
It's just that's the norm out here. It's super weird shit like that. Like
that's so crazy. The survivor is like, dude, in LA is weird. It sucks.
Yeah, no. If you like luck out and then like
find a normal person.
Yeah, and hold on to that. But I mean, this couple like has like a $5,000 apartment in Hollywood, all from their sucking dick money. It's really insane.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then you're like, how hard can it really be? I mean, that sounds pretty nice.
No, I considered.
You're willing to sacrifice your dignity, and you know.
I'm homeless. Like. You're like, whatever.
It's tough times. Just kidding. If Leah's parents are listening, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Just kidding. Hopefully never listen to this.
Oh my God, right?
They won't. They don't know how to do it.
I was like, if my grandma listens to this, we will be estranged. Yeah. Or alternatively, she'll be like, I never was that crazy, but this is silly to listen to.
Right.
Some old people are like they're like down for that. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, this is so far away from the way I was.
Right. My parents are not that.
In my youth. Yeah.
My dad teaches Sunday school. So
Alan.
Love you.
My dad would be like, my dad before this trip, I think I told you this, he's like, be careful out there, okay? And I was like, yeah, I mean, like, sure, but I'm like, I can't predict a terrorist attack, Dad. Like, I'm going to try and be as safe as I can. He goes,
right.
I don't mean that. And I was like,
oh my God.
Oh, he's like, I was like, you're telling me not to be a slut. He goes, yes, with your body and your mind and your emotions. And I was like,
God, good God, let's stop this.
It's the first time I was in Los Angeles, though, that I didn't like hook up with somebody.
This is weird. You didn't.
I know.
Do we need to fix that today? What time is it?
Right?
There's it's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock. There's a bar out there.
Yeah, right? Some weirdo, some swinger is super desperate right now.
For sure.
No, but it's because the guy that I usually hook up with while I'm out here wasn't here, and I wasn't in the mood to go on a wild goose chase.
No, we can't.
Not in the mood.
It's also been chaos.
Yeah, I'm not at a point where that's something that I would have enjoyed. It would have just been like an extra, like,
right.
Not interested.
Wait, my dad also told me when I came out here the first time, which was 6 years ago, when I, you know, ex-boyfriend, he was like, just don't do porn. And then he said it again to me. Like, honestly, thank you for...
For the vote of confidence. Done.
Yeah, I can be in porn.
One of my friends used to direct porn out here, and he said one girl had on her resume that she was a squirter.
Dead.
So she got the job.
I'm dead.
And every time she went to squirt, she shat on the couch.
I don't know how to respond to that.
And he literally called her agent and was like, why the fuck did you send her out for this job? Because she keeps shitting on my couch. And he sent her home.
Why is she
shat on the set pieces? I don't know, because I don't need to tell people what I am capable of in the sack, but I know, you know when you're gonna shit, and
yeah,
you know
when I know you're those feelings.
They're different parts of your anatomy, so that's why I'm confused as to how this like not only happened once, it happened twice,
maybe,
and she got fired from the job.
That. Maybe that's her thing.
Like went home to her roommate and was like, "Well, I got fired." And they're like, "What happened?" And she's like, "Shat on the set pieces again."
That's rock bottom to me. That's
really, you're not there.
I'm
you're
not
doing
there.
Great.
That's really actually thank you. I needed to hear that. Mm-hmm. I feel really good about my LA experience.
LA nades, baby. Is there anything else that like you would like to talk about or like tell the listeners?
Oh my God, the listeners. Hey, I would just it's a weird time of life right now.
Yeah.
Just trying to, you know, I came out here to pursue music and it can be, it's really hard to stay focused here because there's so much going on. There's so many things to do.
Yeah. Especially when you're new to the city.
Yeah. I mean, because what is this? Mostly it's Chicago based, right?
Yeah.
So if anyone like has, and I feel like a lot of people do leave Chicago.
Yeah.
They go to New York or they go to LA or back home.
Yeah. Right.
So if anyone like wants to move to LA, and I feel like anyone who has done it I can totally agree on this, but like, stay focused. It can be super distracting when you get out here. Like, your money will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just remember why you came out here, for your art, whatever. And just try to keep that in mind, even when you're homeless and like going through it. But you gotta do it with a smile, because what else?
Like, getting here is the hard part, though.
Very true. Very true.
That's the hardest part, is be like, because, you know, I mean, like, I'm going through it right now. I want to move here soon. And I've had so many people that are like, but why now? Why not wait for this or wait for that? Or
no.
And I'm like, there's never going to be like a time when there's no risk involved in anything you do, but like, especially in a big move, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
And yeah, it's fucking scary. But I think, yeah, as long as you can kind of like silence that noise and just make the choice and physically get here, then from there, at least you're like, all right, well, that was the toughest part, is getting all those voices out of my head, getting in my car.
Right.
And figuring out how I'm going to get there.
Exactly. That is not even half the battle, I don't think. I think it's more than half the battle.
Yeah.
Is getting here. And meeting people and having people to rely on.
Yeah.
You have those things.
Yeah.
Because people who don't have that, that's scary. So.
Or people who don't have that and also don't have the personality to attain that once they're out here. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I know a couple of those.
I know a couple people like that too.
Yeah. But yeah. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
And manifest it.
I love it.
It can happen.
We have to have this meeting again when we've both made it and James is our assistant. We'll share him.
Can you imagine? I don't think he's going to leave his wife and family in Chicago. To maybe assist he would.
These stars? Maybe these talents?
Can you imagine? What would we dress him in? A butler's uniform?
Yes, with a little tray. Like, put my cell phone on a tray and follow me around with it.
Incredible. If we don't get him for that, we will at least, like, you'll write a sketch.
Totally.
And I will have to star in it.
Why don't we just do Servers : the musical? We could collab.
I could
do the book.
Oh my
you could
God,
do the,
dude.
The book is the script, right? In a musical?
The book. The book is the script.
And you could do the music. You could be the Hans Zimmer.
Love Hans Zimmer. Also a big inspiration of
mine. Yeah, right?
Huge.
Great. Well, I guess we should just start working on that now. Yeah. Where can people find you? Like, where can they find your album? What's your Instagram?
Yeah. So I released like a full-fledged EP, 5-track EP in March. It's called Marion. It's named after my grandma who passed in January. But that's on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Google Play, Amazon.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of places.
A lot of shit.
Yeah.
Have I seen any money from it yet? No.
Stay tuned.
But that's okay. Just right now, I want to get my name out there.
Yeah.
Problematic in music industry. So it's on there. SoundCloud also has just Google Leo Kid. There's two Leo Kids. It was an original account, and I didn't have the password to delete it.
Oh. But it's LEOKIDD.
Yes. LEOKIDD, space in between. And I'm laying on a Camaro. Mm-hmm. So that's my account on SoundCloud. You're going to know.
Great.
So.
And then your Instagram is also?
Yes.
Is it Leo underscore?
Underscore. Yeah.
Leo underscore kid.
Yep. Yep.
Want to spell it?
That's LEO underscore KIDD.
Love it. Give her a listen. Give her a follow. I promise you won't be disappointed. Her music is amazing. Thank you. A bath. Instead of Lana, throw on your Leo.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Duh. Cry.
Feel those feelings, honey.
Feel it.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks
I had a great
for
time.
Me.
And thank you for listening, guys. We'll
thank
see you next time. Bye.
Bye.